Of course, if there is negative emotion, you do not want it. And if there is positive emotion, you do.
Mm-hmm. We're what I'd call a very civilized society, in all economical material effects doing relatively well, I would say. And yet, I don't see a particular joy in the people that I see around me on the streets and in the businesses and so on and so forth. Is that because of that factor that you talk about, that they have very little wanting and but a strong belief?
It is. You see, contentment comes from only one place, from wanting and then allowing and then receiving. And so those things that you are allowing, that you are not really wanting, they are not very exciting or very satisfying to you.
Right. You've also said that when our wanting is passionate, that our belief doesn't need to be so strong. So how would you go about getting that passion into the workshop that you speak of?
Many who we are interacting with say, Abraham, I hear what you are saying, but I do not know what I want. And so we say, begin by saying, I want to know what I want. For in setting forth that statement, you will become a magnet that will attract all sorts of data from which you can make your decisions. And then the more you think about it, the clearer you will be.
Are there any thoughts from our past lives that are still creating or capable of creating in this current physical experience?
There are not. All beliefs that you hold have been created here in this physical life experience. There is much confusion about that. And it comes largely because those who are here are not wanting to accept that they are the creator of their experience. And so as they come to understand that they are, then they say, I'm a broader being than this one life experience. And they try to expand their awareness beyond. They say, I am fat in this life experience because I starved to death in the last. And we say, there is not that from past life experience which is influencing that which you are doing now. Unless in some way you have become aware of it and you are now giving it attention.
If in our concern for the welfare or the well-being of someone that we really care about, we find our thoughts drifting toward negative expectation regarding them, can we actually cause any damage to that other person just through our thoughts of a problem occurring in their life?
You certainly are not offering them any help as you are seeing them in the way that you know they are not wanting to be seen. But you cannot create in the experience of another. As you are envisioning them as they are, rather than as they are wanting to be, and as you talk to them about it, you may assist them in focusing on what is rather than upon what they are wanting, and you may influence their creating. But they are the creator of their experience, just as you are the creator of yours. If you are wanting to be of greatest value to them, see them as you know they are wanting to be. And as they see you see that, they will be uplifted to the achievement of that.
If a one has been programmed into something and they find that no longer desirable in their life, how can a person undo that? I guess you call that beliefs.
You may heighten your wanting, or you may heighten your believing, or you may heighten your wanting and believing. In other words, you must deliberately apply the creative process. You must want it more, or you must alter the belief. Wanting it more is faster and easier. Altering belief takes time, for there are many beliefs within you, and they did not get there all at once. They got there by a sort of absorption or programming process, as you have offered. You are negatively influenced by two major hindrances.
Okay.
One is influence of others. The other is influence of your own old habits. And so as you have developed patterns of thinking, you easily fall into those patterns rather than thinking the new thought that is in harmony with the new desire. It is a matter of utilizing a little strength, or as you say, willpower.
There's a term, your point of power is in the present. What does that mean to you?
It is in this moment, or in this present, that you are thinking. And as thoughts attract, as they are the beginning of all creating, then all creating is done in this moment. Whether we are thinking of our future that is 10 years away, or whether we are thinking of our future that is 5 years away, or 5 minutes away, we are setting forth in this moment that thought.
Mm-hmm.
All power is now. So as you are sitting here and thinking, but not thinking about anything that brings forth much emotion, you have not accessed your potential power. But as you are thinking a thought that does bring forth emotion, you do access the power of the universe. You could have an argument with someone 10 years ago, and while they might not even be in physical form now, you could still be remembering that argument and feeling the negative emotion of it now. But the power is in the moment of the emotion. Mm-hmm. That is what is meant.
I've often wondered how the first disease or the first negative thing occurred, but would it probably not be true that the first most everything occurred through the thought of it? In other words, the first electric light, the thought came first and then the electric light. And so our advancement forward into more diseases or into more good or exciting things all is one step beyond something previous that, in essence, that most of us have thought.
It is. You see, every thought that has ever been thought exists in a sort of thought bank.
Mm-hmm.
And as you are pondering, you may make withdrawals from that bank. And as you put thoughts together in different combinations, you literally create new thought.
How would you describe the term imagination? What does it mean to you?
Imagination is the thoughts which go beyond the reality of that which is now. It is in part reaching into that great bank of thoughts and putting together different combinations, even without evidence or role model that exists precisely in the way of that thought. When we use the word visualization, it brings to mind actually seeing something. And some are able to imagine a picture, while others are able to imagine a feeling, while others are able to imagine a sound or words. While all of it is imagination, all of it is not visualization.
Right. How could a person visualize something that they've not yet seen, like a mate that they would like, or a child they would like to give birth to, or a kind of work that they've never seen, a vocation?
Again, it is important to begin somewhere. By saying, I want to know what I want, you will begin to attract, by law, all sorts of examples. And as you are collecting the data, as we said earlier, letting your dominant intent in the day be to look for things that you are wanting, then you can look around you and see in others those traits or characteristics that you would like to have in your own mate or companion. Truly, the perfect role model for you regarding any subject does not exist. You are the creator of that. Sometimes we hear it said, I wanted to be wealthy, and then I met a man who was wealthy, but he had bad health and a rotten marriage. And so then I decided that prosperity brings rotten marriages and bad health. And so I no longer wanted prosperity. And we say, collect the prosperity data if you want it, and leave out the bad health and the bad marriage.
So you can piece together the characteristics of the mate or the child or the work that you'd want.
And that is really the point of the workshop. It is a place where you can go undistracted, where you begin to formulate pictures in your mind.
So it doesn't have to be something that's already been ever. It has to be just what you want.
And as you are working in your workshop, you will find that in most cases it will not come to you instantly. You will know when you are clear, when you feel excited. Have you ever been working on a project and you thought about it? You thought about it quite a lot, and suddenly you say, I have a good idea. That feeling of, I have a good idea, is your point of launching your creation. In other words, you have been mulling the thoughts over until you have become specific enough that when you hit upon the perfect combination of thoughts, your inner being offered you emotion saying, yes, that is it, now you have it. And so the point of the workshop is to think about all sorts of things until you have that sensation of good idea.
When a strong intention that we've been visualizing hasn't yet materialized, what's the most common cause for that?
There are two that are equally common. The first is you stifle it at birth. You say, I want whatever it is, but. And as you add your but, you cancel it or defeat it at birth. The other equally common repulsion of what you are wanting comes because you have wanted it, you have wanted it, you have wanted it, and it seems that it is so slow in coming because you are pushing it away with your negative thoughts. You are noticing the lack of it more than you are giving your attention to what you are wanting. If you could identify what you want and then think about it till you get it, all things that you want would be yours very quickly. If you could spend your time envisioning what you want rather than giving your attention to the reality of what is, you would be attracting more of what you want instead of more of what is.
Right.
It is a matter of changing your magnetic point of attraction. You must get your eyes, your words and thoughts off of what is and put them upon what you are wanting. And the more you think and speak of what you want, the faster it will be yours.
How do you feel about telling someone, just be patient?
As you are giving thought to what you are wanting, knowing that what you are wanting is yours, it is a matter of allowing it into your experience, you will have not so much need for patience because things will not take so long in coming. In some ways, patience is a resignation to slow creating, and we are not very excited about that. For we know that when you want it, and you will find your joy from having it as soon as possible.
Well, it's easy to take a step beyond where we are and do more than what we're doing, be more of what we are, have more than what we have. But how about what we call a quantum leap? In other words, something almost beyond anything that you've ever seen before to create something like that.
Good. Now you've hit upon the key. The reason it is easier for you to take those small steps forward is because it is easy for you to acknowledge the beliefs that you hold and stretch those beliefs just a little bit. You are not changing the beliefs, you are just expanding them a little bit. Where a quantum leap often means you must release your belief and adopt a new one. Quantum leaps are not achieved by enhancing the belief or allowing part of the equation. Quantum leaps are achieved by enhancing the wanting part. Would you not agree that that mother who lifted the automobile from her child experienced a quantum leap?
Yes.
If she had been in a gymnasium, it would have taken a very long time, little by little, to convince herself she could pick up something that heavy. But her wanting accomplished the quantum leap.
And tell me one more time, how do we fan that wanting?
Put your thoughts upon what you think you want. By law of attraction, more information, more data, more circumstances will be drawn. You see, it is a natural process that when you look at what you want, you will feel powerful, positive emotion. So it is a matter of holding your thoughts upon what you want until that powerful emotion comes forth. Go to the places where the things that you want are. Put yourself in that position of feeling wonderful. And as you are feeling good, all things that by your estimation are good will begin coming into your experience.
And what would you say is the reason that almost everyone feels that they can create little things, but they feel like they can't create the larger things?
It is because they are not understanding the law, and they are hinging what can be based upon what has been. When you understand the laws, then you understand that it is not more difficult to create a castle than it is a button. They are equal. It is not more difficult to create $10 million than $100,000. It is the same application of the same law to two different intentions.
What do you see happens when a person is wanting to test these laws, principles, to prove them to someone else, to say, let me show you what I can do with this. Does that have any bearing on the effectiveness of it?
Others can be discouraging, for as they are not believing, they may influence you to some doubt. There is not a need to prove anything to anyone with words. Let that which you are living be your clear example to uplift others.
Why do you feel that so many of us, in physical form, have this need to justify any good that comes to us?
Physical man has long been programmed, we will use your word, to believe in his unworthiness. There is a very powerful thought here in your physical dimension that says you are not worthy, but you are here to prove yourselves worthy. And we say to you, you are not here to prove yourselves worthy. You are here by the power of your ability to create. It was by the power of your wanting and by the power of your allowing, indeed by your application of the very laws that we are discussing here, that you have emerged into this place. And your physical existence here is proof of your worthiness or deservedness to be or do or have whatever is here, you see.
Mm-hmm.
You have come forth as creators, not as regurgitators. When you are in the mode of justifying,
mm-hmm.
you are usually in a negative mode, for you are not focused upon what you are wanting. You are trying to convince others that it is all right, and you need not. It is all right.
So many of the people that I've seen have had tremendous results in their lives. Joyous things happen, materially and relationships and health-wise. Don't seem to put out that much energy to get them. Seem to put out less than a lot of the other folks. So where does the physical work, or action as we call it, part fit into your recipe for creating what we want?
Your thought is the beginning of all creating, and your action follows forth from the thought. Your action is more powerful than thought, actually, for it is thought reinforced with word and reinforced with physical movement. Your thought, word, and action all dovetail together rather nicely in this creative process. As you set forth your thought of what you are wanting in your future, you say, I'm wanting health, I'm wanting vitality, I'm wanting prosperity, I'm wanting safety, I'm wanting harmonious interaction with others. You set forth a sort of pre-paving of your future. When you say today that tomorrow you are intending to accomplish such and such, you begin the paving of tomorrow even before you get there. And so the action in the moment does not need to do so much of the work if your thought in advance has done more of the pre-paving. You are more physical action sort of beings now because you are not yet understanding the power of your thought. When you are better at applying your deliberate thought, there will not be so much action for you to tend to. For example, let us say that you are walking down a street and you look over and you see that there is a big bully, by your estimation, beating up on a smaller person. And the smaller one is really being hurt. You are faced with an uncomfortable choice. For your options seem to you, in the speed of this moment, to be only two. You can get involved and perhaps risk your own safety, or you may walk away and let them live their own experience, letting whatever happens happen. In either case, you are not happy, for you are not wanting to get hurt yourself, and you are not wanting the other one to be hurt. You are at the point of action. And no matter how much thought you think right now, the thought is too late. Now you must take action one way or another. You must stay and fight or run. Had you 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 1 year ago, or even 1 day ago, even this morning, set forth your clear intent for safety, you would not find yourself in this position, for the universe would have provided a different set of circumstances for you. The one who sees himself as savior, the one who sees himself saving little ones from big ones, finds himself walking into that sort of situation often by his pre-paving of intent.
I have told people that my observation had been that those who worked the hardest had the least, and those who worked the least had the most through life. And yet, somebody had to dig the potatoes and milk the cows and drill the holes for the oil, you know, and do the hard work. Explain to me how it all works out so that each of us can still have what we want no matter what has to be done.
You are living in what we see as a perfectly balanced universe. If you could see yourself as a chef in a well-stocked kitchen, all ingredients that have ever been imagined are there in abundant proportion to make whatever sort of recipe you are wanting. It is our absolute knowing that if your society decided that they did not want to do a certain task, that by the power of your wanting, you would come forth with another way of doing it, another idea.
What are the chief differences in our life in physical form and your life in non-physical form? What do we have that you don't have?
We must point out to you that while you are a physical being here focused in the physical, that there is a part of you that exists even now simultaneously in the non-physical dimension. It is a matter of focus. Here you are focused in a physical dimension where you are entered into the agreements of this physical time and space and all of the earthly laws that exist. It is a nice environment for fine-tuning your knowledge. For here, your thoughts do not translate into instant equivalent. You have a buffer of time. And so as you set forth your thoughts of what you are wanting, you must become very clear. Clear enough that emotion comes forth before you begin the attracting process. And even then you must allow it and expect it into your experience before it comes. And that sort of buffer provides you much opportunity to be very clear. If you were in a dimension where you're instantly manifesting, you would spend more of your time trying to get rid of your mistakes, as many of you are doing anyway, than you would in creating the things that you are wanting.
What is it in that buffer zone that calls out the unwanted from our thoughts before it physically manifests?
In most cases, it is not called out. That is why most people you know have a little bit of the things they like and a little bit of the things that they don't like. They are creating most everything by default because they do not understand the rules of the game. They do not understand the laws. But to one who is coming to understand these universal, eternal laws, and by that we mean they exist even in your ignorance of them and they exist in all dimensions, for those, then their awareness to the way they are feeling is what makes the difference.
When you're visualizing or thinking about something that you're wanting, should you be looking at the means of attaining it as well as what you're wanting to attain, or would it be smarter to just look at the final result only, let the means more or less take care of themselves?
If you already have identified that you are wanting to participate in the specific means, then it is all right to give your attention to that. The key to know whether you are not specific enough or too specific is by the way you are feeling. As you are in your workshop, the specifics of your thought will bring forth the enthusiasm or the positive emotion. But if you become too specific before you have collected enough data, then you will feel doubtful or fearful. And so it is a matter of paying attention to seeking the balance of the way you feel, being specific enough that you feel positive, but not so specific that you begin feeling negative.
Let's say I said I wanted to be a teacher in a very joyous situation. Would it be an advantage to say, well, then I should decide whether I want to teach history or math or philosophy, or I want to teach high school, or...
That is all right. Let us take that example. I'm wanting to be teacher. And begin pondering your reasons for wanting to be teacher, even writing them, as in the exercise we offered earlier.
Okay.
I want to be teacher, and these are the reasons that I want to be. I'm wanting to uplift others to the joy that I have found in knowing these things. And as you begin thinking about the things you know, you may add that specificness to your creation. But then as you are trying to be specific and you say, but I really am not very well versed upon this subject, then you begin feeling negative emotion, which is your inner being saying, back away from the specifics of this, you have not collected enough data. And then you may say, but I'm not knowing where I should teach. Let me think about it. Well, I would like to teach in a setting where there were those who were wanting to hear. And as I think about the organized school system, I see that most of them are there as captives, not as wanters. They are there because the law says they have to be. And I remember when I was a student in school, I was not reaching or seeking. And so you begin to ponder those sorts of situations where the student is there by his choice to be there. Perhaps a college, or perhaps that which is not formal education. You will know by the way you feel.
But you can go by just envisioning the end result and let the details take care of themselves completely.
Indeed, as you see your end results, you will begin collecting data to give you more specifics. And you will know by the way you feel as you collect the data whether it is appropriate or not.
And how detailed would you recommend our thoughts be about the end result of what we're wanting?
As detailed as you can be and still feel positive.
Is there any way that a person could possibly erase the slate of all the yesterday's experiences and thoughts that aren't any advantage to our joyous creating in this moment?
It is a matter of giving your attention to something else. In other words, when you say, I'm not going to think of something, immediately you are thinking of what you have said you would not think of. And so rather than trying so hard to erase the past, focus on the present. Give thought to what you are wanting.
A person caught themselves in a downward spiral, like all the things that are important to them seem to be falling away or depreciating. How would they stop its motion and turn it in the other direction?
It is an excellent question. That downward spiral is law of attraction at work. In other words, it started with a little negative thought. More thoughts were drawn into it, more people were drawn into it, more conversation was drawn into it until it became a very powerful, as you say, downward spiral. It takes a very strong being to take the thought from what is not wanted when it is intense. In other words, when your toe is really throbbing, it is difficult to put your thought upon a healthy foot. In those extreme cases, we would suggest distraction rather than trying to change the thought. In other words, go to sleep or go to a movie or do something that will absorb your thought.
In a competitive situation where one person wins the trophy means that the other person loses it, how can each of them receive what they want?
By recognizing that there are many and unlimited trophies. Of course, when you are putting yourself in competition and there is only one trophy, you are putting yourself automatically in a situation of knowing that only one will win the trophy. The one who is clearest, the one who is wanting most, and the one who is believing most will win it. Competition can be an advantage to assist you in stimulating your clarity of what you are wanting and to stimulate or enhance your wanting. And for that reason, it is good. But we would encourage you not to put yourself in competition where there is only one trophy, but instead to see this world filled with enough abundance that all who seek may achieve whatever they are wanting.
Is there anything that we can want that's unrealistic?
If you are able to imagine it, it is not unrealistic.
Well, does that mean if I can envision it in any way that I have imagined it?
As you are seeing yourself within that which you are imagining, you are attracting the circumstances whereby you will find the means to create it.
Can a person use the same process that you're teaching of creation to create what I call negative things, like taking the lives of others or taking things from others against their will?
Is it possible for them to create what they are wanting even though you are not wanting them to want it?
Yeah, I would say so.
Indeed. For what they are wanting, they may attract.
Can we compound our power or our ability to create something by coming together as a group of people?
Individually, You hold enough power to create anything that you can imagine. Therefore, you are not needing to come together with others. The advantage to coming together is that you may stimulate the wanting. You may enhance the wanting. Mm-hmm. The disadvantage is that as there are more and more of you, it becomes more difficult to stay focused upon what is wanting.
Is it possible to create effectively when we're close in the company of someone who opposes very much what we're wanting?
If you are able not to let their thoughts affect your thoughts, you will have no problem with it. By using your power to ignore, or by being strong enough to focus upon what you are wanting, even while you are close to those who are influencing you otherwise. It is easier to walk away from it. It would be easier not to be close to them, not to be hearing them. But if we say to you, you cannot effectively create because you are in a relationship where the other is opposing, then we say to you, in this city there is much opposing viewpoint, therefore you cannot effectively create. Or in this world there is much opposing viewpoint, therefore you cannot effectively create. And that is not the case. By the power of your own clarity, you are able to create under any circumstances.
Are you saying that we get everything we think about, even if it's something we want or something we don't want, as long as it has emotion connected to it?
If you are thinking a thought and you remain focused upon it long enough, the law of attraction will deliver more thoughts unto it until it becomes clear enough that the emotion is added. And so technically, every thought that you think, if you keep thinking it, will become powerful enough to attract into your experience.
How can we get into a state of flow where the momentum that we've created is now adding to our growth, our forward motion?
By finding one small thing that makes you happy to think about it and focusing upon it until the law of attraction brings more and more and more. The more you think of what you want, the more positive emotion will come forth. And the more positive emotion that comes forth, the more you will think of what you're wanting. And so it is a matter of you deliberately and consciously making the decision of which direction of flow you are wanting. We have enjoyed very much interacting upon this most important subject, for it is our knowing that as those who are wanting to be deliberate creators of their life experience hear these words, they will find the key. You have just been offered the clear and absolute rules to this game of physical life experience. And as you look around, you will find that there is not a shred of evidence to the contrary. There is great love here for you. We are enjoying very much your offering. We are complete.
And this concludes The Law of Deliberate Creation. Hi, this is Jerry Hicks, and this is The Science of Deliberate Creation. This is the recording entitled The Law of Allowing, and it is the fourth recording in Abraham's first Special Subjects album. It was originally received in 1988. All recorded and printed Abraham Hicks materials are copyrighted by Jerry and Esther Hicks, and any unauthorized duplication of these materials is strictly prohibited. Our primary intent with this work is to connect with those who are attracting this information, and Esther and I are most appreciative of the role of your intentions in this joyous, co-creative experience. For additional tapes, CDs, books, videos, catalogs, or to reserve your space at an Abraham Hicks Art of Allowing workshop, please call 755-2299, area code 830, or write to Abraham Hicks Publications at Post Office Box 690070, San Antonio, Texas, and the zip code is 78269. Also, for an immediate overview of our works, visit our interactive website at www.abrahamhicks.com. That's www.abraham-hicks.com.
And now, Esther will take a moment to quiet her conscious thinking mind as she invites Abraham, the group of non-physical teachers, to speak this material through her to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are extremely pleased to discuss this most important topic of allowing, an understanding of the law of allowing, and indeed an application of the law of allowing, will bring forth to everyone who hears and knows and applies absolute freedom in this physical life experience. An allower is one who knows this. I am that which I am, a changing thing indeed. And while I am that which I am willing to allow all others to be that which they are. I recognize that there are not two of us that are the same. I recognize that we have many differences. I recognize that there are things that are similar. There are even things that are same. And in all of our samenesses and in all of our differences, I find joy. The reason that most are not willing to be allowing of what some others do is because they believe that if they allow another to behave in some way, some very opposite way, that they are jeopardizing their own experience. That if another is allowed to behave in that way, that it will grow and spread even unto the experience of the one who is observing and not approving. This belief, this fear, this wanting to protect oneself, this attitude of vulnerability comes not because the vulnerability need be there, but because it is not understood what causes the vulnerability. It is not understood that it is not necessary for the experiences of another ever to seep into the experience of any other. This lack of understanding, indeed this fear, is what is responsible for the organization of armies. It is what is responsible for the attitude we must band together to be larger and more powerful. And it is an attitude of weakness rather than of strength. It is a feeling of vulnerability rather than a feeling of invincibility. And it is a lack of knowledge regarding the laws that govern your universe. The reason that we are offering these words to you is not that we may free your world from all of its troubles, as the conflicts of belief continue to cause one life after another to be lost. The intent of this recording is to assist you as individuals who hear this to find the freedom that comes only when you understand and apply the laws of the universe. These laws are eternal, which means they are forever. These laws are universal, which means they are everywhere. They are absolute, whether you know that they are or not. They exist, whether you accept that they exist or not. And they influence your life, whether you know that they do or not. When we use the word law, we are not referring to the earthly agreements that many of you term law. You have a law of gravity, and you have the law of time and space. And you have many laws, even laws regarding the controlling of your traffic and the behavior of your citizens. But when we use the word law, we are speaking of those everlasting, ever-present laws. And there are not so many of them as you might believe that there are. While we have already discussed fully on separate recordings the law of attraction and the law of deliberate creating, we will express them here briefly because an understanding of those laws is necessary before an understanding of the law of allowing can be. if you will come to understand and apply these three basic laws, you will have an understanding of how your universe functions. You will have an understanding of how everything that comes into your experience comes. You will recognize that you are an inviter, the creator, the attractor of all things that come into you. And you will indeed then have deliberate control of your own life experience. And in all of that, you will then, and only then, be free. Freedom comes through an understanding of how you're getting what you're getting. And so here we will express the rules of your game of physical experience. And we do so enthusiastically because they are the same rules of the game of all life, whether it is physical life experience or non-physical life experience. The most powerful law in the universe is the law of attraction. And that law simply says that which is likened to itself is drawn. You say, birds of a feather flock together. That is your awareness of the law of attraction. You notice that when you wake up in the morning feeling good, you have a happier day, where when you begin the day with a fight with someone, that you find your day negative in many regards. That is your awareness of law of attraction. And indeed, everything that you are experiencing, from the most obvious to the most subtle, is influenced by this powerful law of attraction. When you think about something that pleases you, by law of attraction, other thoughts that are similar to it will begin to come forth. When you think of something that displeases you, by law of attraction, other thoughts that are like it will begin to come forth. Until you find yourself reaching into your past for more of the thoughts. You find yourself discussing with others until you find yourself surrounded by a larger and larger, ever-growing larger, thought. And as this thought is growing larger and larger, it is gaining momentum. It is gaining power. Attraction power. An understanding of this law puts you in a position where you may focus your thoughts only in the direction of what you are wanting to attract into your experience, while you may take your attention from those thoughts that you are not wanting to draw into your experience. The law of deliberate creating is described in this way. That which I give thought to, I begin to attract. That which I give thought to with emotion, I attract more quickly. And once I have launched it powerfully by giving thought with emotion, then as I expect that which I have thought about, I get it. The balance of deliberate creating is two-sided, so to speak. On the one hand is the thought, and on the other hand is the expectancy, or the belief, or the allowing. And so when I have given thought to something, and now I am expecting it or believing that it will be, now I am in the perfect position to receive the subject of my thought. You get what you think about, whether you want it or not. Your thoughts are powerful, attractive magnets. They attract to themselves, and you attract them to you by giving thought to them. When you feel lonely, you attract more loneliness. When you feel poor, you attract more poverty. When you feel sick, you attract more sickness. When you feel unhappy, you attract more unhappiness. When you feel healthy and vital and alive and prosperous, you attract more of all of those things. The way you feel is your point of attraction. And so the law of attraction is most understood when you see yourself as a magnet getting more and more of the way you feel. It is usually easier to see these laws at work when you look into others' experiences. You will notice that those who speak most of prosperity have it. Those who speak most of health have it. Those who speak most of sickness have it. Those who speak most of poverty have it. It is law. It can be no other way. We are teachers, and in all of our experiences of teaching, we have learned this most important fact. Words do not teach. It is life experience that brings you your knowing. And so we encourage you to reflect into your own life experience, to remember those things that you have experienced before, and to begin watching from this point forward for the absolute correlation between the words that you are hearing here on this recording and the life experience that you are living. For it is our knowing that there is not a shred of evidence that exists anywhere in your universe that is to the contrary of what you have just heard on this recording. And so if you will begin to notice that you are getting what you are thinking about, then and only then will you be wanting to pay attention to, in fact, to deliberately control your thoughts. Controlling your thoughts becomes easier as you are making the decision that you will do it. Most of the reason that you think about things you do not want is because you did not understand how detrimental it is to your experience. For those of you who do not want those negative experiences, and for those of you who do want those positive experiences, once you have recognized that thinking of what you do not want only attracts it into your experience, controlling your thoughts will not be a difficult thing because your desire to do it will be so strong. Monitoring your thoughts is not an easy thing to do, for while you are monitoring your thoughts, you are not having time to think them. And so rather than monitoring thoughts, we are here going to offer to you an alternative, an effective alternative. There are very few who understand that while you are a physical being here, focused through this physical apparatus, that simultaneously there is a part of you, a broader part, a wiser part, certainly an older part of you, that exists now at the same time. And that part of you, we refer to it as your inner being, communicates with you without exception. The communication takes many different forms. It may come in the form of clear, vivid thought, even an audible spoken word at times. But in all cases, it comes to you in the form of emotion. Before you emerged into this physical body, you set forth an agreement that this line of communication would exist. And it was agreed that it would be a feeling that could not be missed, rather than a stimulation of thought or an offering of word which could be missed. For as you are thinking thoughts, you do not always receive a thought that is being offered. Just as you are thinking or deep in thought, you sometimes do not hear what someone is speaking to you who is standing in the same room with you. And so the process of feeling, as in emotion, is a very good process for communication. There are really only two emotions. One feels good and one feels bad. And it was agreed that the feeling that feels good would be offered when you were thinking that or speaking that or doing that which is in harmony with what you are wanting, while it was agreed that a feeling that felt bad would be offered when you are speaking or thinking or acting in a direction that is not in harmony with your intentions. It is not necessary to monitor your thoughts, but simply to be sensitive to the way that you are feeling. And any time you feel that negative emotion, recognize that you are in the moment of that feeling miscreating. In the moment of that feeling, thinking a thought of something you do not want, thereby attracting it into your experience. Creating is the attraction process. When you think a thought, you attract the subject of your thought, and that is creating. The words that you have heard here have introduced to you two of the three powerful laws of the universe. Law of attraction being the first, law of deliberate creating being the second. And now we will introduce you to the third, and the one that you have wanted most to understand in this physical experience, the law of allowing. Law of allowing cannot be understood or applied until the first two laws are understood and applied. For it is not possible for you to be willing to allow others until you understand that what they do and what they say need not affect you. For your feeling, a feeling that comes from the very core of your being, of self-preservation, is so very powerful. As you are wanting to preserve your own self, you cannot and will not allow one who threatens that. There is not another who has or offers any threat to you, for you are the controller of your own experience. The law of allowing, which says, I am that which I am, and I am willing to allow all others to be that which they are, is the law that will lead you to total freedom. Freedom from any experience that you do not want, and freedom from any negative response to any experience that you do not approve of. When we say it is good to be an allower, many of you misunderstand what we mean by that, for you think allowing means that you will tolerate. You will be that which you are, which by your standards is that which is appropriate, and you will let everyone else be that which they want to be, even if you don't like it. You will feel negative about it. You will feel sorry for them. You will even feel fearful for yourself, but nevertheless, you will let them be in tolerant fashion. When you are tolerating, you are not allowing, you are tolerating. They are two different things. One who tolerates is feeling negative emotion. One who is allower does not feel negative emotion. And that is a very great difference. For it is the absence of negative emotion that is freedom, you see. Mm-hmm. You cannot experience freedom when you have negative emotion. An allower is one who has understood the law of attraction. An allower is one who knows how he gets what he gets, who knows how to deliberately create in his own experience. An allower is one who does not give his attention, he does not look for or listen for those things that he does not want to experience. He has learned to take his eyes from that which he does not want to draw into his experience. He is one who understands that everyone is creator of his own experience. He is one who lets everyone be the creator they have intended to be. He is one who is glorious in his own creating and who is willing to allow others to have the glory of their own creating. Many would say, Abraham, you mean I should put my head in the sand? I should not look and see those who are having trouble? I should not look for an opportunity where I may be of assistance to them? And we say, if you are intending to be of assistance, your eye is not upon the trouble, but upon the assistance, and that is quite different. When you are looking for solution, you are feeling positive emotion. When you are looking at problem, you are feeling negative emotion. You can be of great assistance to others as you see what they are wanting to be, as you uplift them to what they are wanting to have through your words and through your attention to it. But as you see one who is down in his luck, as you see one who has great poverty or great illness, and as you speak with them in pity and sympathy about that which they do not want, you will feel the negative emotion of it because you are a contributor to that. As you talk to others about what you know they do not want, you assist them in their miscreating, and you feel negative emotion as it happens. Negative emotion that you call sorrow or sympathy or pity. One who is allower is one who is willing to let the one who chooses illness choose it and have it. Allower is one who is willing to let the one who chooses poverty choose it and have it. But that does not mean that you cannot at same time as being allower also be uplifter. That does not mean that you cannot uplift them to having something better. You will not uplift them through your words of sorrow. You will not uplift them through your recognition that what they have is not what they want. You will uplift them by being something different yourself. You will uplift them through the power and through the clarity of your own personal example. For as you are healthy, you will stimulate their wanting for health. As you are prosperous, you may stimulate their wanting for prosperity. Let your example uplift them. Let what is in your heart uplift them. You will uplift them when what is in your heart feels good to you. You will depress them or add unto their negative creating when what is in your heart makes you feel bad. That is how you know the difference, you see. You will know when you have achieved allowing. When you are willing to allow another, even in their not allowing of you. When you are able to be that which you are, even when the others do not approve. Even when they do not approve of what you are able to still be that and not feel negative emotion toward their thoughts about you. When you can look into this world and feel joy all of the time. You will know when you are allower, when you are able to know which experiences contain joy and which ones do not, and you have the discipline to participate only where there is joy. The difference between positive emotion and negative emotion can sometimes be a very subtle difference. Just as the difference between wanting and needing is a very subtle difference. When you are focusing upon what you want, your inner being offers you positive emotion. When you are focusing upon what you need, your inner being offers you negative emotion. Because you are not focused upon what you are wanting, you are focused upon the lack of what you are wanting. And your inner being knows that that which you give thought to is that which you attract. Your inner being knows that you do not want the lack. Your inner being knows you want what you want. And your inner being is offering you guidance so that you will know. Focusing upon the solution makes you feel positive emotion. Focusing upon the problem makes you feel negative emotion. While the differences are subtle, they are very important differences. For when you feel positive emotion, you are attracting into your experience that which you want. When you feel negative emotion, you are attracting into your experience what you do not want. An allower is one who has learned the law of creating and has reached the position where he does not miscreate. He creates deliberately and intentionally and joyfully. You see, contentment comes from only one place. It comes only from wanting and then allowing and then receiving. And so as you are moving through this experience of physical life, holding your thoughts in the direction of what is wanted, letting the powerful law of attraction work for you, bringing more and more of the events and circumstances and other beings who are compatible with you into your experience, then you will find your life spiraling upward to joy and freedom. Tolerance may be an advantage to the other because you are not hindering them from what they are wanting to do. But tolerance is not an advantage to you because while you are being tolerant, you are still feeling negative emotion and therefore you are not free. You are bound by the negativity you feel. Becoming an allower is an advantage to you. Because as you are an allower, you are free from negativity and you are an experiencer of joy. You have some questions for us, do you not, upon this most important topic?
I have questions. It is, to me, the most exciting topic of all of them.
It is that which you have come forth into this experience to teach. But before you can teach, you must know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've also noticed that we've had the least numbers of questions asked. Perhaps go ahead.
Ordinarily, the questions are more in the line of, someone is doing something I do not like, how can I get them to do something I do like instead? Mm-hmm. And what you will come to understand is that rather than trying to get the world all to do one thing or to do the things that you like, it is a much better plan to put yourself in the position of accepting that everyone has the right to be or do or have whatever they are wanting, and you, through the power of your thoughts, will attract unto you.